Good morning, all you lovely people. Do y'all not love that little mat out front? I love that so much. By the way, Edna and Tom Wong are watching. Be well, Edna. And probably a lot more. Hello, everyone. I have to say, there's been something transpiring here since about January. Papa Bill and I were talking about it. It's just incredibly good. Incredibly good. I don't know if y'all are aware of it. I'm sure you are because more and more people are showing up on Friday night. So if you haven't been coming to Friday night, I would encourage you, come jump in this river. Oh, my word, it's so good. In the worship this morning, there's just been a real depth that we haven't really, I can't say we haven't seen it before, but it's just like it's different. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just different. And it's like we've come upon this threshold and we've crossed over into something. So this place of crossing over, it's like a huge transition. And of course, transition is happening everywhere we look, right? I mean, you'd have to be blind not to see it. But here in this body, it's just the beauty. And I have to say, particularly this morning, we're singing, "You're Worthy." And you're worth it all. And there's just something about, I was sitting there listening to your voices going, it's like they have sown their very being in their voice to the statement, "You're worthy. You're worth it all." Like you guys are really willing to go that far, that Jesus is worth it all. Oh my word. It's just so good. It's just so good. Such beauty. So, I would say also there's a strength that's coming up along with this rising up in us, this crossing over. And this strength is like when we line up with this plumb line of the Lord. It's so strong. You guys are so powerful. Do y'all know how powerful you are? Well, thank you very much. I don't know about the rest of you, but... That's so good. I like that declaration. She ain't bashful, you know? So we've been laying hold of this Jesus. We've been following him. And we've been coming until we continue to become, until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, knowing him, the knowledge. This isn't just like, hey, you know, this is the Lord, this is our God. No, you know him. The knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So what does all of this lead to? There was a realm this morning that we crossed over into. This realm is called the kingdom. People are extraordinarily creative and powerful. The Lord made you in his image, right? And so we create realms all the time. Women, nesters, anybody, me, okay? We create realms. Like in my home, I've created this realm that suits our family. This realm, you know, is we like to be outside, so we have outside stuff going on. Inside, I get bored real easy, so there's lots of stimulation, visual stimulation, move the furniture around so I can see it new, with new eyes, you know? So it's sort of a realm that works for me that, and frankly, I've created it. Now, have I been inspired? I'm sure I've been inspired. But the point is, we create these realms. And you can drive down the street and look at somebody's house and yard, and you can kind of tell what's going on in their life. You know, when you see toys everywhere... Maybe the grass didn't get mowed, but toys are everywhere. You know what's going on. And so we create these realms. But we are so much more powerful than we understand about the realms that we create. But there is a realm called the kingdom. There's a very special realm. This realm called the kingdom, I want to talk to you just for a moment about it. We know the kingdom is his domain, yes? Therefore, it is governed by his will. Your kingdom come, your will be done. There is a link. In his domain, his will is done. In his domain, his will is done. So it's about his will, and that's what we're laying a hold of. So as it works according to this will. So we follow this will. We follow it because we're following Jesus, and he's following the will of the Father. Yes. But in so doing, following this pattern, this will, we are forsaking something. We are forsaking our own will. Now, this word forsaken, you know, I just love looking stuff up, because you know how you say stuff so often that you lose the substance of what it really means. So to forsake, now we're talking about our will, abandon, desert, disown, renounce, and it comes from the old English word refuse. Sounds pretty absolute, yeah? Kind of refuse is like refuse, you know, like Paul talks about. I count all this as dung, as garbage. It's refuse. And I leave it behind. I forsake that for this thing that is worthy. So if we come up to this threshold of this realm, this kingdom, and we cross over, his will is what's governing here. Now, if we decide to choose another will, our own, that of the culture, whatever, you don't get to live there, because that will is not being done in this kingdom. You know what I'm saying here? Okay, so Luke 17:21. Where's the kingdom? It's in us. It is within. It's not afar. Do you realize how many of us, and look, I've been here. You know, we've been growing, right? I've been here. I related to this God like he was afar. But this kingdom is within. How many times do we actually live alongside the kingdom, right there, transparent, and we're unaware? Unaware. So there's this place of becoming aware of this realm that God is creating. And so what's it like living in this kingdom that's accessible? I'm looking here at my notes. I was putting Romans 14, and I put it spell-checked Romaine. So let us, I know that all makes you hungry for lunch. Romaine, yeah. See, it was a lettuce wrap with tofu. Okay. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Spirit. Okay, so apparently you can have these things not in the Holy Spirit, or you can have them in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at that, right? So what happens when you live in this place? Okay, righteousness. That's where we're in right standing with one another and with the Lord. And in this place of right standing, I'm sorry, I'm making a mess up here, aren't I? Oh, thank you. In this right standing, in this community, love begins to flow. Because we're in right standing. It always, anytime I think of flow, I think of like when you go diving, I dive, and you know, you're in the seagrass and you're in fairly shallow water, so every movement of the water, everything goes together in perfect unity. It's that kind of love begins to flow in this place of righteousness. And what happens then is it creates a peace like no other. This peace is dynamic. And this peace creates an atmosphere where life flourishes. I don't know, to me that just is like, I just want to eat that for breakfast. Life flourishes. Like there's no death there. There's just so much life. Things are popping. Things are happening. It's like springtime. Everything's erupting with such vigor and beauty. So in this place where this life is flourishing, this community rises up in joy, great joy. And true joy is a manifestation. It is a manifestation of contentment. It's a manifestation of the expression of the kingdom. This is why, remember what Papa Bill always tells us? And when this came out of your mouth, I was just so blown away with it. We are perfected in unity. We're revealed in love. And we're expressed in joy. This great joy, this contentment. And it's so dynamic. Okay, this kind of gives me goosebumps, you know. And I can just imagine how this glorifies the Lord. Like he looks upon his people. And his heart swells. His heart swells that his very nature, his very essence is being expressed in his own. He looks in us and he sees himself. He sees the life of the Trinity, this dynamic, flourishing life of the Trinity expressed multiple billions of times. How incredible is that? It's so vibrant and it's so vital. It's just beautiful. So all of this gives you the goosebumps, you know, like, I want that. That's what I want right there. And I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm going to forsake my will for that. Hallelujah. But I want to get practical. I want to get down to the nuts and bolts. Or maybe, you know, the plug, the wires, the Wi-Fi, and the data. I want to make this practical. Because when we talk about the kingdom, still, in our limited terms, it sounds afar. But I want us to be able to lay hold in this. I'm watching you guys go this direction. I'm watching you lay hold of it. And I'm seeing this vital life flourish in you. This joy that comes from this great love. And like you come back like a moth to a flame. I know. I'm there too. So Papa Bill, we're pinging this week. If y'all haven't processed with Papa Bill, let me tell you, that's good. Okay, so he's telling me about some, what were you doing, headphones to your TV? Headphones, okay. So he's working components, and all these components are not playing well together. So he goes and gets the compatible pieces to the puzzle, right? So in this compatibility chain, it still didn't work. So being rather mechanical, logical, he does... having learned mechanics at a younger age, he goes back and he starts at the original origination spot, the source, and he starts tracing back to see where is it not being compatible. Well, there was a switch on the TV. Ding. Suddenly, everything worked. So what is the switch of the kingdom? It's your will. The will is the switch. And you thought we were through talking about the will. No, because this is vital to us. This understanding of how the will works. It's the switch. You see, when the switch is over here, it's our will. It's our flesh nature. When the switch goes this way, it becomes his will and his nature. Got that? Now, these things track. We are so powerful that these two realms can mimic one another. Okay, so you've got this switch, right? And you flip it, and you're like, I am not very patient. I need to work on my will. You know, you work to have this will. Or, you know, I need more love in my life, or I need to be this, or I need to do that. You know, and it says this, and I'm just not measuring up to that, so I need to do this. You can literally create patience, love, and all the things. However, how do you know which way the switch is flipped? How do you know what happens when it's over here or over here, since they sort of parallel and mimic each other? The fruit of your own nature cannot withstand the testing. It is not abiding fruit. So we want to be authentic. So for instance, if everything's wonderful right here, dude, you talk about patience, I can do it all day long. But you get me over here where things are really starting to unravel, start to get frustrated. And then it pretty soon really starts challenging me. But if I can only be patient there and not here, I'm not really patient. It's a facade. So we want a type of patience that our own nature, our own flesh, cannot produce. So Peter talks about the importance of faithfulness and endurance. I was talking to Papa Bill. I'm like, you know, you get up here and you tell all these wonderful stories. I'm like, when you set your mind to something, your heart, your spirit to something, it happens. He usually speaks it, and then he sticks to it. So I'm acutely aware of the fact that I think my will is not that set. I haven't really switched it over. You know, my will is a little bit wavering. And so I was talking to him about this. And he's like, it's with Peter, he talks about being faithful, you know, enduring. Paul talks about the testing. You don't grow weary. I mean, Good grief. If Paul went through those testings and held on, how did he do that? Because you've been through these things, you know. And the thing is, you don't have it until it's tested. Because the Lord is pulling out silver and gold. He's not pulling out rotten fruit that doesn't work. He's pulling out the very penultimate best in you. And the reason it's in there is not because it's from your nature. It's because it's from His, and His kingdom is within. Love, patience, long-suffering. Have y'all noticed that these today are the times that try men's hearts? You try men's souls? You know, that was Thomas Paine during the American Revolution who said that. That was some pretty tough times. They try you. They test you. Will you stand or will you waver? Will you go another way? Every attribute becomes valid, get this, when the flesh is removed from the expression. Why? Because of the origin. Because of the origin. You know, we all get freaked out and we respond incorrectly to a situation. Don't worry about that. What's happening? It's the flesh. So let's turn to Romans 7. Romans 7. Sorry, Kenny, you didn't get the lettuce joke. Okay. Paul says, for that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that which is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but the sin which indwells me. You know, that's kind of one of those things where Jesus starts going, I and you, you and me, and we're a happy family. You know, I kind of like get lost in that, but you pick up what he's saying there. You're going, man, I don't know how many times I minister to people. This is what I always get. That's hard. I'm like, yeah. It's called a war. And the war is going between two different things. Your flesh nature and his nature. You're being tested, right? So in our minds and our hearts, we do something and we don't get the response that we anticipated. So there's this measuring stick we're after. Is it flesh or is it spirit? Is it flesh or is it spirit? So the Lord is very precise and consistent. He does not waver. There's no shadow or turning. It's always consistent. He operates by a pattern, right? A pattern. And Jesus is the patterned Son. So when we find inconsistency in our expression, it's a sign to us that it's our nature and not the nature of Christ in operation. Sort of like a red flag, you know, ooh, a clue. It's a clue. So in these times that try men's souls, this is a great opportunity to practice. Just turn on the TV. Turn on Facebook. Turn on anything. Go talk to your neighbor, your family member. Great opportunity to practice. Look, there's goes. There's a reason why they go, never talk politics and religion. But seriously, it's a great opportunity. But mind your switch. Mind the gap. Is it on his nature or your nature? You'll find out real quick. So when you get riled up about something, we often tend to say, oh, that's just, I'm being passionate about something. This is something important. You know, be careful because you don't know which voice is speaking. The voice that's speaking to Jesus in the wilderness with scripture, when the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, it was to divide the Father and the Son. If he could separate Jesus from the will of the Father, bingo. So is the voice you're hearing that altruistic voice that says, but it's your American values, it's your Christian values to take in the foreigner to do this, that, and the other. Is it? Yeah. But what's the spirit behind it? So check that. Check that. Because if it is a spirit of reconciliation, it may be seeing the same things, but the motivation is completely different. And it will produce abiding fruit. Fruit that brings together. So when you are set, when you have your switch flipped, it's a foregone conclusion. You have a predetermined set of responses because you have forsaken your own will. You've forsaken your response for one greater than your own. Now, that kind of sounds automaton, you know. God's not like that. He's actually sharing his nature and essence with you. And you have a free will choice, and that's the switch. So there's two components in this switch thing, okay? The action of yielding our will, and this is what I'm probably seeing more in all of you, is a yielding, a special kind of yielding where you see a worth greater, worth yielding for. So there's the yielding of your own and appropriating his will. Appropriating his will. So the nature of God is his presence. So when you are practicing appropriating his will, you are practicing his presence. Every time you worship, we call that practicing the presence. But there's more to this. Every time that you reach into the essence, that nature of him, you're practicing his presence. And as you merge together, you merge into his heart and you manifest something new. I'm sure a lot of you would go, wow, I hadn't really responded like that before. That's pretty cool. And suddenly this peace is created, this bridge is created, and it's just so, so good. It's not your mind switching now. It is your will switching. Current's been there all along. You just appropriated it. You just yielded to it. How do you grab it? How do you appropriate it? How do you do this? Practice his presence. Get to know him. Yield to him. The flow comes to you, this current, this flow comes to you so that you can become, okay? So when you turn to the Lord, you're activating the switch. The flow comes in his motivation becomes yours. See, it's about motivation. What is the motivation of your heart? When you zoom out to 10,000 feet and look down, you can see. You can see when you're up close to the situation, it goes crazy, right? It is really easy to misinterpret the Lord. Do you know you can hear the Lord and not understand the Lord? Anybody ever got a text? You know, you get these texts and you're like, oh my gosh, did they really say that? This is so funny. I was like, okay, I've had this happen before, but going back and finding it. So I just kind of went online and said, you know, misunderstood text. I thought I was going to die. It was so funny. So here's a benign one. Mom, your great aunt just passed away. LOL. Mom, why is that funny? It's not funny, David. What do you mean? Mom, LOL means laughing out loud. Oh my goodness. I sent that to everyone and I thought it meant lots of love. I have to call everyone back now. Oh my gosh. When you know the person, you know the motivation and the spirit behind it, and you can read in what you're supposed to read and not the literal reading. So when you read this word, when you hear the voice of God, if you don't know the nature of the person speaking it, you could misunderstand. You could misinterpret it. And we tend to do that along the way that we have created a realm of understanding in our own will, even out of like a good heart. So his words are spirit and life, right? So what you're doing is you're reaching into the heart of the author, the one who wrote these words, and you are pulling that to your own. This author who wrote it. You see, when the author writes, when the author speaks, he pulls out of his nature in his own essence to create. When he created the world, he spoke to the nature of what he was creating. So when it was time for the fish of the sea, he spoke to the sea. Bring forth. When he pulled created the animals, he spoke to the land, to the earth. Bring forth. But when it was time for you and me, he spoke to himself. Let us create man in our image. Without that understanding of the essence of his nature, you will misinterpret. So this is why we must know him, the knowledge of the Son of God. So something amazing begins to happen. I'm sorry I'm having so much trouble here, but we'll correct this next time. Girls. So something amazing happens when you flip the switch. You see, your nature, which is what you do with unconscious effort, is just comes out of your nature and who you are. That's your Adamic nature. That was the first Adam. But as you practice exercising his presence, something happens. It becomes second nature. Amen. Who is the second Adam? Jesus. So that nature, see, this is your original natural nature. But what that which becomes second nature is the second Adam. Lord. Okay? Now, here's some good news. You're going to like this. So I was working in the yard. And we have this vine, big vine, like two stories tall with a canopy on top. And when it blooms at Easter, it's like a giant corsage. It's the most spectacular thing. The vine is so big, it's like, well, okay, maybe not my bicep, maybe Joel's. It's big. It's big. If there's one thing I know that I've learned in travel is that every few years you need to do a hard prune. Like in Europe, they are brutal in their pruning. Like, so you have this massive ancient tree or massive ancient vine, but it's within bounds and it produces like crazy. Now we have a master gardener, yeah? So I'm working along on this vine and I go, I feel like the Lord is talking to me about it's time for a hard prune. See, you have overgrowth where we've created a lot of stuff that seems pretty good. It's blooming. It's gorgeous. Kind of gotten out of bounds, out of hand. It's crawled up on everything. And you have undergrowth, that which has quit producing, maybe even dead, that's underneath piling up, like underneath that canopy on my deck, it was black. Just because of the stuff coming through. This canopy was so thick that when it rained, you didn't get wet. So, I mean, I feel like the Lord is saying it's time to hard prune. Get rid of that which is overgrown and that which is underperforming. He's got the main thing. We want to be plugged into the main thing. We want to be in the right source, not in our own nature, but in our second nature. Okay, so that day I found an article where in your brain, we've often known for years, that the synapses, what fires together, wires together. So we have a pathway of behavior, a pathway of understanding, a pathway of feeling that is hardwired into us. We're like, God, I just can't get rid of this old nature. It's so hard. But here's the good news in science. When you quit using that pathway and you've hardwired another one over here, and this one becomes not used, you have these cells that come along and tag the ends of your synapses for pruning. And another cell comes along and prunes it away because you no longer need it. God's amazing. So amazing. So when we flip the switch, suddenly we're compatible with his nature. We leave our will behind us. And that unused will, pruned. Thank you very much. Kind of like that stuff. This is why it's so important in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these. Set your mind on these. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Set your mind on these things. Flip that switch. Set your will resolutely. Resolve. Forsake your own way. an appropriate hymn. Practice, exercise that presence. You cannot expose your nature to his nature in a yielding fashion and not be transformed. You can read this stuff and try all day long, and it won't abide. It is only when it is with his nature, and you leave yours at the door. Now, I'm going to reiterate this. When you come up to his realm, his kingdom, you got to leave everything at the door. You saying he is worthy. And I know every one of you mean that. Every one of you have tasted of something. Listen, when we taste of this, we're ruined. As I have tried to put my will aside, I have purposely set myself up in some pretty challenging circumstances lately that really get my goat. And I don't mean just lightweight stuff. I'm talking serious stuff. And I've talked with people and asked them, try this. Just try this. You are going to freak out at how much freedom this brings you. There's no more confusion. There's no more division. Now, it's not like, look, people kind of want to be stirred up. We kind of like drama. You know, feel this level of maturity rise up in you. This freedom that comes from maturity, setting your will to his will. It is like the best ever. It's so good. It's like the fragrance of life. He's the author and the finisher. It's his authorship, not our own. So we go from empty stuff to enduring stuff. Empty faith to enduring faith. Empty love to enduring love. Stuff that can completely overcome. Listen, when you get this, you remember when Papa Bill was talking about what it is to be an overcomer? You become more than a, what's more than overcomer? A ruler. You're ruling your own spirit. Better is a man that can rule this thing than a one who can rule a city. When you take this place inside of you and you begin to be more than an overcomer, there is a transference. Everything he transferred to you of his nature, his love, his faith, his strength, his overcoming nature is in you. But because you have submitted and yielded to him, you also are a transfer. You are like him. So whatever comes to you, you're transferring to others. You become a well of life, a place in the kingdom. Your kingdom has moved aside for this that is so much more worthy, so much more beautiful. And in this place, people are coming to live. The birds come to this tree and nest there. You become this place that's flourishing. Your own life is, does it mean you don't, it's a rose garden, everything works out well? No, but it means that you're an overcomer. Those things don't matter because why? They're temporal, they're passing. Just like the fruit that comes from your own will and your own nature. It's passing. It's temporal. But you have traded that for an eternal realm, an internal kingdom that cannot be shaken. Cannot be shaken. The greatest threat to this is independence. You know that, don't you? When you stay plugged in to Jesus in his body, you are availing yourself of this presence, this kingdom. So when we go independent, we go rogue. Oh, I'm going to do it my way. Unless it must, we don't go, oh, I think I'll be doing it my way. I did it my way. You know, more, it looks more like this. You know, the switch. Put my left knee in, put my left knee out, put my left knee in, and then I shake it all about. I do the hokey pokey a lot. Then I turn her, wait, turn to him. That's what it's all about. When you waver, when you fail, and we all do, just turn. Turn the switch, flip the switch. All you have to do, turn back to him. I want to encourage you, do not grow weary. This is a major battle in every believer. And then when it happens, and you start walking in this, you become more than an overcomer, it doesn't even faze you. You're like, I don't know why I waited so long. I don't know why I don't know why I went. It's so hard. It really isn't. It just feels that way. Just know that what he has for you, I don't care how great your struggle is. I don't care how great it is. He won't forsake you. He will never quit. He will take you to a place of overcoming. Just yield. Just yield. It's a journey. And then you'll quit doing the hokey pokey. Practice, practice, practice His presence. Practice makes perfect. Okay. Papa.
Oh, I'm kind of excited about doing the hokey pokey.
Did you flip your switch?
I did. My switch is flipped. We processed this week, and you go back and listen to this again, because really there's some incredible truth here, because it's a liberating message. The liberating part is this: when you get free from the flesh and how it responds and the disappointment of how it responds, yeah, and you begin to move in the spirit, you come into a new realm of life. And I found that over the years, the testing that I've gone through, I welcome testing even though I don't love it. I welcome it in this sense. If there's something in me that's not true love or true faith or true perseverance or true faithfulness, I want that to be revealed.
Yes.
Because I don't want to get out there on a limb with a false conception that, you know, that this is going to carry me through, because it won't carry you through. But when you really move into the spirit, you flip the switch and you allow the current of the Lord to come into your life, where there's a true manifestation of true love, true faith, true perseverance. Because Cheryl asked me the question, kind of got the whole thing started this week. She said she's observed my life and Sue and I and over the last 8 years, and then she knows the stories for the last 45 years. She said, how do you get to be faithful? How do you get to be who you are? Is this something you inherited, something you grew up with? Well, I look back and I think, well, yeah, I did grow up in an era when a man's word was his bond. Yea is a yea and a nay is a nay. Used to go in a bank and borrow money. I didn't sign any papers. I just told the banker I wanted the money. And he gave me the money because he knew I'd pay him back.
He knew you.
Some of y'all can't even imagine those kind of days, because that's the way I grew up. You stayed with what you believed, and you were faithful. But I'm looking back, and I think, well, you know, maybe that's it. But really, it isn't it, because I've been so tested in my life that those, even I was faithful by nature because of my upbringing, that faithfulness will not sustain me. It's only the faithfulness of the Lord. See, the sufficiency that we find is the sufficiency, not in ourselves, but our sufficiency is in Him. In Him, we live and move and have our being. Say it with me. In Him, we live and move and have our being. I'm switching the switch from my will, my path, my determination, my faithfulness. Because see, the human nature, like she said, can mimic everything that looks good. We can mimic that. Have you ever had someone look you in the eye and say, boy, I love you, brother, and the next week they're talking about you? Amen? Have you ever said someone,
they love
you,
to talk
if
about
you
me.
Really love with the love of God, you won't do that, right? The love that you had was a feigned love. It was a false love. And I don't want to be guilty of that in my life, yeah. And I've been too guilty too many times, of presenting myself, my own strength, my own ability to suffice what God wants to actually give us. This is the kingdom. Let me say one more thing that I'll quit, because you did so good.
You don't ever really quit.
Didn't Carol do, not Carol, it's not Carol, didn't Cheryl do good? Cheryl did good. Amen. Now that I remembered her name.
You can find that in Romaine.
But I got to thinking about this. How many have seen the old medieval movies, you know, where you have the fiefdoms, they call it, I guess, the kingdom, the walled cities with the drawbridge, and, you know, I've seen those, the castles. And this kind of reminded me of what it's like in the kingdom of God. Inside this walled complex or this walled city, this kingdom that was ruled over by a king, the people enjoyed a certain lifestyle that the people outside the walls didn't enjoy. Just think about it. The people outside the walls, what did they go through? Every day they woke up hoping to survive that day. hoping that they would catch a rabbit or find a berry that they could eat and survive, hoping that a mountain lion or a bear or some other snake or something wouldn't kill them that day. They were, I mean, they're lucky. We made it through a day and nothing devoured us, hoping that some hostile tribe of robbers or killers wouldn't overtake them and destroy their family. You understand what I'm saying? But the people inside the wall didn't have those same fears, because they're, and this reminded me of the kingdom. When we get into the kingdom, we come into the place of love, righteousness, peace, and joy. We come into this right standing relationship with the King, and because of that, it translates into the peace that we enjoy, and the results in joy being expressed from that peace that we have. Not so the people outside the camp. That reminds me a lot of what we go through as Christians. Many times we live out in the boondocks, far removed from the protection and the presence of the Lord, struggling just to survive another day. How many have ever been there, done that? You're kind of tired of living out there in the boondocks, where every day you wake up hoping you're going to survive the onslaughts that are going to face you? Well, I guess what? You can step into, by His presence, by His glory, you can come into the place of the Lord. Amen? Now, the kingdom that you set up is not a visible kingdom. It doesn't have visible walls. But you set up a place of dwelling. And this is the place that God talks about when He said, in this place, don't worry about what you're going to eat, how you're going to sleep, because the birds of the air, they don't have a place. And the things of nature all happens because of my provision. You don't have to worry about, there's no worry when you're in the kingdom. My God will supply all of your needs. Amen. According to His riches and glory.
Yes.
Well, Pastor, don't understand. I'm broke and despairing and I don't have any place to live. Get in the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, you're going to find everything you need. You say, well, that's too much simple an explanation. No, it's not. It works. It works. Because if you have the kingdom, then those other things become insignificant. Because God has a way of correcting everything in your life, bringing it right back into where He wants it to be when you dwell in that place that you've let the switch be flipped. You see, that juice, that power has been there all along, right? We could turn out the lights, and I don't advise we do that right now. If we could turn out the lights, does it stop the current? The current's still in the lines, right? Still there. All we need to do is flip the switch, and the light comes on. So I want to ask you this morning, wherever you're at in Christ, would you let the switch be flipped in your life this morning? Would you flip a switch? Would you do the hokey pokey? Would you let the Lord come in, the Lord of glory, the Lord of truth? Let Him come in even to a deeper level. And maybe you've been doing so good, but maybe the Lord said, I want you to do even better. Amen. I want to take you from glory to glory to glory. I want to take you from this realm to the next realm. Because see, even though we're doing great, guess what? There's greater things coming.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
There's something greater for you today than what you had yesterday. And what you do today, the decision you make today, if you'll flip a switch today and say, Lord, not my will be done, but Your will be done in my life.
Yes.
And you humble your heart before God and say, Lord, I'm not going to let this natural man rule, but I'm going to let the spiritual man rule and overcome in my life. If you'll do that today, guess what? Your week will change. Not only your week, but you could change the course and the destiny of your life. Think about it. We have the opportunity right now to change the course and the destiny of our entire lives.
Amen.
All we got to do is take a step into the presence of the Lord.
I love His second nature.
The second nature of the Lord. Not our nature, not my will, but Lord, Your will. Not my nature, but Your nature. Not my love, but Your love. Not my patience, but Your patience. Not my strength, but Your strength. In You, Lord, I live and move and have my being. Let's all stand up together this morning. Thank You, Lord. You guys are awesome. Turn to someone and say, you're pretty awesome. Say, you're awesome in Christ. You're awesome in Christ. Thank you.